first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast show number 124. Big number.
124.
Exciting. It sounds like a darts announcer, doesn't it? Brilliant. I'm Michael Cox and I'm here this week with Jerome Mundell.
Hello.
Daniel Silva.
Conaldo.
Conaldo, the Cockney rogue himself, Connor South, and Andy Franks. We've actually got a good turnout this week.
Turnout?
Yeah, makes a change, doesn't it?
Even repeating words.
Yeah, there you go. I've got an echo.
I'm going to have to ask a quick question.
Go
Sorry.
On.
Sorry, have you got a missus?
From a single man.
Oh, yeah.
A single
a
man.
I've got a sister.
All right, why are you wearing her jeans?
these are my mate, this is cool.
Oh, I've
these
never cool. seen a geezer wearing a tighter pair of jeans.
Really?
Bless him, he's young.
Yeah,
I think you're being a bit harsh.
When you've got legs like these, you can wear them.
Dan was salivating as he walked up and saw those jeans. He's thinking, oh, who's that fine young lady?
Is that bird? Yeah, no.
Then he saw the beard and assumed that he'd pulled her in the past, and then he realised it was you.
Connor Dan's just worried about your roguish threat to him.
Is it a ridiculous threat?
I remember the bad old days when I was the best looking pubcaster. Now we've got you two male models. It's a bit depressing.
Hey, what about poor little Jay?
Well, Jay,
he's a Lizzo Mazimba.
We all know that Jay's dark temptation, so no one's going to compete with Bloody hell.
AKA typical
West Ham fan, and we'll go on to slightly objectionable racial views from West Ham legends shortly.
I thought we'd led quite well into that, to be honest.
Quickly, on 124, I thought I'd have a look at 124,000 for the pubcast, and I found two facts. One is that Eric Edmond, Tottenham legend, was paid $124,000 in 2005 by the Dutch Football Federation after his agent tried to pocket a load of his fee when he moved from Heerenveen to Spurs. But more pertinently, because we spoke about England players selling their World Cup winners' medals a few weeks ago, and Gordon Banks sold his for $124,000. A few years ago. So
Gordon Banks,
who went on to be a window cleaner, I believe, because back in the day, when he retired as a footballer, he didn't really get much. So, and I think he still does help out. It's either a window cleaner or a postman.
Yeah, but sure. That's because he probably watched that that film, Confessions of a Window Cleaner.
Maybe.
And thought that he might get some kinky action.
I'd like to think that's the case. But yeah, we will go on to objectionable managers with dodgy views that have changed jobs, because Neil Warnock's obviously been sacked by Leeds.
Yes.
That's what we're all thinking, right?
Yeah.
Or Colin, as he was pointed out by Marco on Twitter, as his anagram. Do you know the Neil Warnock anagram?
I'm sure you're going to tell us, Mark.
I saw it, but I didn't understand it.
Well, it's Colin, and then it's a word beginning with W, which quite fits him very well.
Right.
But no, obviously, Paolo Di Canio. Thoughts, and we'll start with Connor, because he's a West Ham fan, and obviously probably thinks there's some chant out of his arse.
Well, I don't, and to be honest, my initial reaction to Paolo, you know, becoming on the market was get him in at West Ham. Big Sam.
Really?
Big Sam, you know, he's steady as shit.
Well,
but is he going to have that edge?
Put it this way, you're not threatened by relegation, really. I mean, I know you're only 6 points off the relegation zone, but there's that many teams between you. You wouldn't think West Ham are going to get dragged into it, and you're playing quite well.
Yeah. I mean, the weekend showed that. I think, you know, getting Andy Carroll back in a bit of form.
Back in a bit of form? When was the last time he was in form?
Well, when he was at Newcastle, he played well for England. And he worked hard, you know, and it's just a little bit of confidence in front of goal, and he's got two goals and ability.
He's got ability, though.
He's got ability.
He's a good footballer.
But back to Di Canio, I think it's a good move for him, because obviously he's in the top flight.
Is it a good move for Sunderland, though? Bearing in mind they have a strong left wing support base.
Why has it all come out now?
I mean, it's been well known Di Canio's political views for a long time. And when he was at Swindon, they were sponsored by the GMB union, who withdrew when Di Canio got appointed. So it's similar. I think it's more high profile because David Miliband is moving to America anyway.
Can I just say, right, on that note, I think I've decided what my least favourite day of the year is, and that is April the 1st. Because I tell you what,
because you're not intelligent enough to realise what's going on.
The David Miliband thing, so obviously, you know that 90% of the stories on Twitter of that morning are going to be bullshit.
It's hilarious, right? Isn't it? Apparently, North Korea are going to invade South Korea. April Fools. Lol.
Exactly. But then there's some that are so obvious that.
Yeah.
I had no idea that David Miliband was on the Sunderland board. And then it was like, there's just so many stories that came out that morning.
Well,
and some
it's
true,
interesting.
Some not. It's fucking
you know what to believe, did you, Dan?
No idea what to believe.
It's interesting because The Sun did their one about, in extra time, the goals being made bigger, which is actually what...
One,
it's actually one that was done by Soccer AM about 15 years ago, I remember it. But
some are ridiculous.
A colleague of ours, who's an Arsenal fan, and I'm sure will be known by at least Andy Franks around this table, a chap called Glenn, announced it heartily in the meeting that we have every morning the next day, only for me to point out that what day was that published on, Glenn?
Did he really bring that up?
Yes, he did. And it was like, I think it's a ridiculous idea. I think it's a...
I wasn't even sure, because I didn't find it, because the DiCanio thing happened the night before, didn't it?
It did, yes.
So I saw that in the morning. I wasn't even sure if that was a wind-up as well.
I said when O'Neill went, and I have to say, I've said before, I think Martin O'Neill's the most overrated manager in British football. But that's another debate for another time. Andre Villas-Boas. Tony Pugh, this is us. I'm not a fan. But... I said straight away, it wouldn't surprise me if DiCanio went in there. And Steve McLaren was the early favourite. I said it to my mum, actually, when I was back home.
Convenient. Never said on the podcast.
That podcast we recorded on Saturday, yeah.
last week.
O'Neill went on Saturday. I could have predicted it. I mean, obviously, a few days earlier. But I do think it's daft that he went after losing to Man United. Because really... You've got a bad run of games. You're not going to have Man United down as a win at the start of the season. But I didn't think about all the political things going around it. And to be fair, Italians have very different political views. I mean...
Broadly speaking.
Fascism is viewed very differently because they've been under a fascist regime in relatively recent history.
Yeah.
That said... Sunderland should have thought... And certainly if you've got David Miliband on the board, why is he not saying... We have a strong left-wing fan base. We don't want to appoint a fascist as a manager. The options out there, I mean, I think Steve McLaren and Mark Hughes, are either of them going to keep you up?
Not attractive.
They're not attractive to the fan base, but... they're not attractive
they're
people either. I mean, to be fair, Paolo's much better looking.
It is.
So, you know...
But then it's the whole shit, political views, like whether they're previous or...
As DiCanio has pointed out, he's not racist, but at the same time...
That picture of him doing the salute when he was playing back in Lazio,
it's damning, and it's still very
it's
contrasting when you think of all the things that have gone in the North East with the miners' strike and the Jarrow miners marching and very strong trade union beliefs. I mean, cheers, Connor. This is politics.
It is the wider scope.
It was
right,
a poor
so
decision.
You're telling me if he does a splendid job, wins a couple of games,
a lot of people won't care. But
for DiCanio,
a lot of people still will.
Away from this political debate, he's as mad as a box of frogs.
I'd love him.
Entertainment value, he's going to offer something
pretty
special. It'd
be great.
He's in the Holloway, man.
I'm really happy he's in the Premier League, but I think he's at the wrong club. I think he will keep them up as well.
He said he's going to smack bottoms to get things
kick
in order.
And smack faces.
No.
Kick bottoms and smack face it was, because that's what he'd done at Swindon. That's there was a picture of him kicking one of his players at the arse, but he said it was playful.
Kicked him off the field, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he said it was after a celebration.
His highlights
were. It wasn't like.
His highlights
were.
I do worry as well with DiCanio that he could be a bit of a Roy Keane, where he has such high expectations of players that it ends up imploding. It's one thing doing it at a lower league level when you're a bit of an icon, it's another getting players who arguably are better than you.
Controversial.
Well, DiCanio was a great player, but there's every chance at Sunderland that he's going to deal with players.
Today, you're shouting a lot today, Michael.
I'm just quite excited about it. Have you heard the sound quality of recent shows? We need to shout. But there's a very real opportunity that we'll have players who are more talented than him working for him at a club like Sunderland.
If you take it on face value, he hasn't got very much managerial experience. He's done well with a League Two side. to step up to a Premier League
team.
Just forget all the politics, forget everything.
It's a massive step.
And 7 games to go to avoid relegation.
I think he'll galvanise him and keep him up.
I would like it. Well, he said he'd bet everything he has on the fact that he came back. But
Premier League, they've got a tough running, but the Premier League is so close this year. I mean, it's up to, I think, 12th place. Up the top, obviously, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, but we'll also talk about the FA Cup.
We will, of course, because it's been a very mixed weekend. But
just on the managerial side of things, before we move on, did you hear what Neil Warnock said about
Colin Wanker?
Go on. Colin Wanker. when talking about the Leeds job, for some unbeknown reason, just threw it in. It was on who could possibly replace him. It was, I personally hope Mark Hughes follows me again and destroys another team of mine.
Well, Mark Hughes is the favourite.
Well, I think that's why, and that was his sort of response to it.
Could there be a more likeable management team at a club than Ken Bates and Neil Warnock? Possibly with Ken Bates and Mark Hughes, but Jesus Christ.
Has Hughes ever done a good job anywhere?
Yeah, Blackburn and Wales. He did a great job.
He did a right Fulham, actually. Fulham, no, he did a right Fulham.
He's a good manager. He's just got ideas above his station. Unfortunately, he didn't do a bad job at City.
No, he didn't.
With all the money, though, and the squad of players he had, he should have done better. Should have done a lot better. And it was a bit harsh that he got the boot when he did, but...
Yeah. But what else from the weekend? Obviously, we've just spoken, United...
As we actually talk about football?
Yeah.
Like the results?
Yeah. United, one hand on the title, but at the FA Cup, very disappointing. And a very insipid performance on Monday, I thought.
Yeah, what a goal from Bardo.
He's done exactly the same goal for Newcastle.
If we're talking goals, Gary O'Neill's strike.
West Ham, are we?
Ala Gerrard. It was fantastic.
If we're talking goals, Glenn Davis is just coming to talk about goals
being made bigger.
Jesus Christ, that was
Glenn. Come and talk to us about it.
You might have heard a brief comment there. That was Glenn Davis, who genuinely believed that goals are going to be made bigger in extra time.
But it's taken 11 minutes and 30 seconds. But
if we're talking about
goals, two absolute beauties for Spurs this weekend. I mean, I put Vertonghen's up there as maybe even better than Bale's, which is a bit probably crazy talk because Bale's was a ridiculous goal. But Vertonghen is different class. The boys made a run from the halfway line, one touch to bring it down and slide past keeper. Attacking midfield / striker.
I have to say, for me, this is the best possible end to a Premier League season because you've still got four teams fighting for a Champions League place. Five, if you think Liverpool could still. You're an idiot if you do. You've got...
The counter-argument to that is that it's only three teams, and if you're outside of London, you don't give a shit.
Well, Everton have still got to play Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal, albeit all the way from home.
But if they win those
But
games,
if they can get 6-7 points from that,
they won't.
It's all to play for. You never know. But you've got eight teams at the bottom still fighting for survival, 9 or 10, I mean... There's still a lot arguably in there. And Man United are 15 points clear at the top of the table. So it's perfect for me.
Great result. I mean, I know Chelsea rested some players. Oh, it's bizarre, isn't it? So Benitez is saying that his main goal is the top four, right? So he rests players.
Hold on, wait. The players that he brought in, though, they're not shit players. They're not reserve players.
But the point is, he's rested his best team. He's rested his best team when for the quarter-final against Man United.
Chelsea have also got three big games in this week, basically. They had the Premiership game, they had the FA Cup, and now they've got the Europa League. You're not going to play your best team in all of them.
Jay, you've totally proved my point. The point is that he's saying his number one priority is the top four. So you'd play your best team in the league, then maybe a slightly weaker team or something, a different team.
Have you seen
Demba Ba has come out and said he'd rather win the Europa League and the FA Cup than qualify for the Champions League?
But my point is, I can't believe you're arguing the fact that it's nothing to argue. He said it's priority is the Premier League. So if your priority is your Premier League, surely out of those three games, you would play your strongest 11.
And if we're talking about great goals, Ricky Lambert's free kick against Chelsea. Yeah. Fantastic.
What a hit.
Even the Jay Rodriguez goal.
Jay Rodriguez has been touted. Apparently, Hodgson's watching him for England. Because he's not getting the goals, but he's playing very
Beckham,
well.
Apparently.
If we talk about
was that a couple of days ago?
That's got to be a naughty boy, David Beckham. Did you see the gesture he made at the Barcelona fans last night?
It was worse than that. It was doubly worse.
Obviously, he got a lot of stick because he's a former Real Madrid player, but he gave them the V's when he was substitute with you.
Are you sure he wasn't saying peace out, homies?
No, he wasn't, because there wasn't some sort of advertising slogan behind it. So presumably he was being offensive.
I think someone shouted from the crowd, "How many of them are golden?" And he said,
"Maybe." And Connor held up two fingers there. So just to explain, visual gags work well on the podcast, Connor. But
I didn't see it last night.
Fucking game.
Yeah,
you missed maybe one of the best passes you will ever see from Dani Alves.
It was so good that Messi didn't even have to control it outside of the boot, and one bounce, and Messi, all he had to do, it was a fantastic run, but what a finish as well. But the pass was, as good as you'll ever see.
He wasn't even facing the goal, was
it? It's finally poised in the Champions League, because obviously it's 2-0, and you would fancy Barcelona at the Nou Camp to go through past PSG. Two away goals, but also Bayern Munich wasted a fair few chances to put the game to bed. They won 2-0 against Juventus, but going to the stadium, it's not the Stadio Delle Alpi anymore, they play in that little stadium, but Juventus have still got a chance.
Going back to the PSG game, right? 10 years later.
I'm going back as well, yeah. All right, we'll go back in time.
We'll go back together. Who did have a very good game, supposedly, that I read, was Thiago Silva.
Has he been in the news this week at all, Dan?
I believe he might have been, Michael. For some reason, what started the initial attack?
Well, I think about 30 years ago, Joey Barton's parents had a drunken fumble, and from there, Joey Barton was created.
Well, so he's obviously, I don't know why. Does anyone know why he started it? For some reason, he's been
he slagged off Neymar. He called Neymar a streak of piss or something. Yeah. And
so he's then attacked Thiago Silva, and then.
But to be fair, I think a streak of piss is the haircut that Neymar has. I think that's what he asks for when he goes into the barber's shop in Sao Paulo.
I love the fact that Thiago Silva came back with.
Bloody hell, we've got carrots and hummus at the table.
Oh no, there is no way you stop that now. There is no way you were doing a podcast with pints of beer and some hummus and carrots.
Eat your carrots and hummus if you want, Connor.
Listeners,
Go on.
I'd expect him to bring out some jelly deals, actually.
That is disgraceful.
I don't actually like jelly deals. I don't like the bones.
And you call yourself... Anyway,
go on, jelly deals.
I'm not sure I can continue. Fucking hell. So Thiago Silva's come back with he's just an attention seeker. No one talks about him, so he abuses big players.
He didn't
attention.
Even know his name. He said some English player who plays for Marseille.
He
could have been talking about
.
Chris Waddle, to be fair.
And he said Barton always talks about Brazilians, but it's weird, when I watch internationals I never see him playing for England. Lad,
18 minutes against Spain.
But Joey,
always got
did
that.
Did you see what Joey Barton said today?
He's
responded. Yeah. And I mean, and this is just shows the intelligence and the common comedic value of that man. It was secondly, are you pre-op or post-op?
Hashtag Joey.
Transsexual. Hashtag Thiago's a ladyboy.
Wait, didn't Joey Barton appear on a programme against homophobia in football last year?
He did.
Idiot. And I've got something about homophobia in football to go on to, but we'll go.
I thought he's meant to be intellectual.
He's supposed to be, but clearly
he's lost it on
an
that
absolute
one,
moron. So
we almost shouldn't talk to him about
he
it.
Doesn't
talk,
deserve,
talk, talk to him
he doesn't
talk
deserve
about him.
The oxygen of publicity.
But it is
a comment like that.
Fan,
funny, right?
Just keep stuff in your face with your carrots and hummus.
You're the sort of person he'd probably tweet against by the sound of that comment, eating carrots and hummus.
Oh, excuse me.
He's ridiculous. But going on to homophobia in football, actually, Brighton have announced this morning that I think it's 58% of teams they've played against this season have... Or in 58% of games, they've been
58% of teams.
They've been homophobically abused. The fans. There's been chants that are homophobic. I think it's 72% of away games and 70% of travelling fans. But in terms of how it works out by clubs, or
that
over
doesn't
half,
even remotely
over
surprise
half
me.
The clubs, which is ridiculous.
Football fans are intellectual, aren't they?
It is absolutely ridiculous that this still goes on. Because obviously Brighton has a lot of gay people and it's hilarious.
I've been called a few names. Being
and you know what, to be
Brighton
honest, I spend a lot of time in Brighton because my fiance is... my fiance, who is a fully functioning female...
After the operation.
...is from there originally, after the operation, yes. Because we're lower into Joey Barton levels now. Hashtag transsexual. But no, I've spent a lot of time, and if I was given the choice between a match day on a Saturday around the station full of absolute morons, and as I've seen... Almost every time, for some reason, whenever I've been there, when the away fans are there, someone's dressed as Jimmy Savile. What the fuck is that about? People going to football dressed as Jimmy Savile. But if I was given a choice between Brighton's gay community or the away fans that travel there, I would choose the gay community every time. Because at least you know you can have a good night out with some good friends, some good music. Instead of some absolute morons. I mean, it's just... It's depressing, in this day and age. It's just a bit stupid.
The thing is... I know it's totally wrong. It is totally wrong. But if you're from Brighton and you're Brighton, you just brush it off. You just brush it off because you get used to it for so long.
Yeah.
But then again, then
yes.
it's not right. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's sort of like, oh, you're from Brighton, you're gay. Yeah, oh, good one. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. And it's this.
Actually, Connor's just brought a half pint back.
I've got to leave soon.
What sort of cockneys are you? I mean, a half pint, carrot and hummus.
He's not invited again. Can I just make a comment about Brighton?
You know, it gets a lot of stick about having a lot of sort of gay people.
Have you been drinking this morning?
It's also the drug death capital of the country.
What's that got to do with a football podcast? Why don't fans go there and sing about drug deaths? There are plenty of other things about Brighton. It's a lot more uplifting, isn't it? Of course. Why don't they sing about their Stony Beach?
It's rubbish, isn't it?
Why don't they sing about their Palace Pier?
Where is your proper beach? I mean, Brighton Beach is awful. I hate it.
Yeah, it's not great.
But no. But we'll go back to football now. Thank you for that, Connor. He's good value. Anything else from the weekend?
Go
on. We'll start with you then.
I've got a stand-up performance.
You're the only person.
I know exactly what Dave's going to say as well.
I only come on a podcast when Aston Villa do well. Yeah. And we lost at the weekend.
Fickle.
It's not really true. But we actually are the next gen series champions, European champions. Beating Chelsea in the final.
Fair play.
2-0. So we're the best young team in Europe.
And what I did point out to Jay is that the first thing he needs right now at Villa is more young players.
Because they've done really well. Looking at the weekend's game for Villa, I didn't think they actually played that badly.
We didn't. Again, I think we're a one half team. We just played one half of football. In the second half, we didn't come out again, and it was all over us. We're just such a young team, inexperienced throughout the
There's a lot of pressure
season.
On Benteke.
I was just saying,
there is a lot of pressure.
Lot.
If you don't perform, he's going to go, surely.
Where is he going to go?
There's going to be a load of interest.
I'm happy if we get double the money.
If Chelsea don't get Falcao. Yeah. Could that be a shot?
Or Arsenal?
Or Tottenham? God knows you need strikers.
Well, he's been quite heavily linked with Spurs, and I would have no problem with that whatsoever.
He looks like a really good player, and we see him play.
How old is he?
23.
No, he's 22.
I thought it was 21.
Yeah. Speaking of links with a...
you can't just throw guesses in. That's not how it works.
I was close.
We're a knowledgeable football podcast. We don't get facts wrong.
We're not at all. Speaking of being linked with a club in London, Jose Mourinho. Very strongly linked with Chelsea this week. Didier Drogba's come out and said anything that'll happen.
Again. How many times? Mourinho is going to be continually linked with Chelsea until he finally comes back.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens at United this summer, because I'm starting to hear more and more rumours that there might be a management change, and I think Jose Mourinho wants that job.
Who are you hearing that from?
Sources. Ketchup, brown, mayonnaise.
Your mate's brother's the sous chef.
He did very well in his job
interview when they played in the Champions League.
He deserved at least a second. So
I heard rumours that it's Giggs' job.
There's a lot of people.
Again, you can't just give. You can't give Man United to Ryan Giggs.
Look what Shearer done to Newcastle.
He is Man United.
At the same time, a lot of people took the Liverpool job throughout the 70s and 80s that had never managed before. Kenny Dalglish and Joe Fagan and
Paisley. Too much of a gamble. I'll tell you someone who probably won't be in Manchester next year.
David O'Leary.
No.
But he won't be.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not
Although wrong. He was linked with it when Ferguson originally was going to retire, which is
I'm
ridiculous.
Actually talking about the blue
so
side of things.
No, no.
Blue side.
Rafa Benitez.
No, stop it. Sami Nasri.
Sami Nasri.
Have you seen
he
the little...
He played a blinder at the weekend, didn't
well,
he?
This is exactly... And that's exactly my point. Very well played, Ant. It basically... Do you see Mancini... came
said
out
he wanted to
and
smack
said,
him in the face. Yeah,
basically said, talking about Nasri's performance, I'd like to give him a punch because a player like him should play like this always. Basically saying he's been shit recently and he played really well the weekend. Sami Nasri has
he responded?
Bitten. He's bitten, one might say. So he's come out and said, Mancini has shown a little proof. Well, I mean, this talk about fucking no English, which is very ironic considering what he's about to say. Mancini has shown a little proof of bad faith when he said he wanted to punch me. I think the coach still doesn't handle English very well and sometimes uses expressions that aren't suitable. And then the knife in the side, Arsene Wenger is the greatest coach I've ever worked with. He made me the player I am.
Jesus Christ. Like, Arsenal would mercy
not
have
been
back.
Training's going to be awkward,
isn't
it?
He turned his back on Arsenal, didn't he?
Oh, dear.
Well, speaking of Man City players who should be residing in one of Manchester's finest... public funded hotel, strange ways, but isn't going to be. Is Carlos Tevez?
Yeah, got away with it, didn't he?
He's a bastard. If he wasn't a footballer, he wouldn't have got away with
that.
Wasn't
those pesky kids.
If he wasn't, no. I can just see Skibidi trying to tear that mask off and realising it actually is his face.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hideous, isn't it?
He would be a great Scooby-Doo villain, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, did you see what he got?
What did he get in the end?
250 hours community service, a 6-month suspended licence and £1,000 fine.
What community service is he going to do?
I hope he's got a pick-up litter on the side
of the
M6.
He'll work for the youth team. That's what he'll do. He'll work for the...
He'll be going. It'll be like when Alex Hunt's not going to
start. It'll be so cool.
He'll be doing coaching.
He'll probably do it in his slippers.
250 hours, though. You know, I'd love to see him act. He won't do half of that.
No, of course he won't.
He'll be out in 125 hours.
I've got a naughty boy of the week. It's actually more than one boy. It's naughty boys of the week, and they're bloody naughty. Luton fans.
Oh, story. I looked at this. You can slightly adapt naughty boys of the week to complete arseholes of the week
fucking
or dirty fuckers
of the week.
Yeah, because so they're not naughty boys. This is disgusting.
Kidderminster. I think it was two fans. They were stabbed twice and another taken to hospital after a fight broke out after the game. So basically, one of the fans' coaches on the way back was stuck in traffic and Luton fans come up to it, started to...
No, sorry. Can I just...
Go on.
Interject.
Yes, thank you.
Well, let's all get right. The facts right.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole point is apparently it wasn't necessarily... Well, it's not proven that it was Luton fans.
Luton scrubs.
I mean, they could well have been Luton fans, but they were definitely just Luton scrubs. They weren't wearing kit or anything.
People
like that.
Who use football as a disguise for, a hidden agenda to just want to stab people, basically.
It is. It was residents of Luton, whether they were fans directly of the club or something, we don't know.
Well, it happens. Like I said a few weeks ago, I saw it in Oxford as well. You get people who aren't football fans going to the fight.
Yeah. But they're minding their own business, weren't they, on the bus on the way home and got attacked and stabbed.
Luckily, there weren't any fatal injuries, but I mean.
It's just fucking scum, innit?
It's still going on. So that's in lower league. I mean, that's not even in professional football leagues, but it's still going on. Well, it doesn't matter where it's happening.
Can you punish a club for it? If it happens on the terraces, if it happens around the ground, absolutely. If it was on the way home, like you say, it could have been just a local...
It's difficult to punish clubs.
Yeah. But actually, if anyone's ever been to the surrounding areas around Luton, there are a lot of people who just want to have a fight after the football. Yeah. They're not actually... Yeah,
but to be fair, that's everywhere. I mean, I've driven through Hartlepool before and had people flick the Vs and they come up to your car and try and get in there. I mean... It's endemic of British society, which, going back to politics again...
Speaking of...
Let's go on to something cheerful.
No, speaking of fatal injury... So you said it just now, luckily it was a fatal injury, I'm just bringing it back a little bit.
Another tenuous link.
A little bit. Abu Dhabi.
Oh wow.
9 months out.
Nine
the
months
poor
out.
Lad.
For a training ground
Even like, Wenger can't. Even Wenger can't justify this man being paid any longer. He'd be lucky to recover from this one.
Well, it's a cruciate ligament, and you do struggle to recover from those. But
no one's doubting his talent. No one doubts his talent.
No, well, he's fit for
more than 5 minutes. It's a massive shame.
Shot footballer when he can play, but
yeah. Well, speaking of massive shames.
Oh, go on,
David James.
No, David James is not a massive shame.
Oh,
it rhymes. James and shame rhymes vaguely. Shames and James rhyme. You know, that's close enough. We'll fucking take it.
You see that he's joined. I love a little bit of random trivia.
He's playing in Iceland, isn't
he? Yeah, he's joined Icelandic side IBV as player coach, and who were IBV were managed by. They're managed by former teammate Herman Hreiðarsson.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He must be about 74 by now, David James, isn't he?
He's pushing 42. He's got a bus pass.
Was it? Yeah.
He's in his 40s.
Yeah. He's not the first Englishman to play in Iceland, because Lee Sharp played there for Grindavík about 10 years ago at the end of his career. Yeah. And Iceland is meant to be one of the nicest countries in the world. So, fair play, David.
On what basis do you ground that?
It's got the least crime rate. It's fairly cheap for a Scandinavian country.
Still expensive though.
And you've got the Northern Lights, so
all right, fair enough. I'll allow it.
Those are the reasons that David Jim's on. Yeah, it's nothing like Luton.
I've got a good story. We all like having a moan about a mercenary, right? So in our paper today, in the Daily Mirror, I don't know if this is true or not, but Carnu, in his time at Portsmouth, apparently was owed £3 million in wages from Portsmouth.
We talked about the fact that he was owed money.
He's written it off now.
Oh, he's written it off?
So, you know, fair play. And he is probably, you know, one of the bigger mercenaries.
To be fair, he's probably earning a good pension by now, because if David James is 74, yeah, then right. God knows how well he is.
And he did say that he did it because he genuinely did care about the football club. He won an FA Cup medal with the club, and he said, you know, I don't want to make the money that they owe me, you know, ruin the club. So
did you know that Carnu actually played in the first ever World Cup? 1930. True fact.
Speaking of legends.
Yes.
Yeah. I know I said it. So
well,
so
I've
it
got
count,
someone
but...
who I hope is even more of a legend than you, unless you're talking about the same thing.
I'm just throwing it in.
Rubbish.
Why not?
Go on, throw it in.
Zinedine Zidane.
Right, we're going to stop that.
We apologise.
No, right.
I think I've got to go.
Yeah,
I've
actually got to go.
Who is more of a legend, Zinedine Zidane or Kravatnik? And I think we can all agree it's Kravatnik. No, sent me an email this week, and to Dan as well, which he originally wrote in December, and I don't know who he sent it to, because he wrote that.
Shaunie Miller. Yeah.
Obviously, his wife works at Bolton Wanderers, and... This is the same thing.
No, obviously, we didn't know that, I don't think.
We've spoken about that numerous times.
The fact that she actually works there.
She works there, yeah. That's why so many footballers keep coming on to her. Because she's there.
In nightclubs and stuff like that. That's not.
I think she holds the sponge in the shower. I'm joking, Nick.
Michael Coxon.
Nick knows I'm joking.
We want him back on the show.
He'll be back soon.
To be fair, he admitted he hadn't listened for a few weeks when we saw him last time.
Bastard.
So he might not be listening.
Let's run up Dan's grabs. I just heard Danny Shit, who's just arrived on his driveway while he's at work, so let's see what happens there. But no, this is the statement he made. My wife, Mrs. W, has been frittering away my pittance of a wage buying useless, brightly coloured trinkets from a posh lady's shop today. She got chatting away to some brightly painted dame behind the till, and it turns out it was Kevin Davis's wife.
He is such a wordsmith, isn't he?
The shop is owned by one of her pals, and apparently Mrs. Davis helps out sometimes. True to form, Mrs. Davis elbowed my wife in the neck and appealed for a penalty. Typical. But then he said, this is not Mrs. W or Baby W, who I assume is his child's first brush with the Davis family. She met him amongst the seasonal veg at Tesco last year. And he sent a picture.
There's a picture of Kevin Davis.
He's got an update. There's the picture. He's got an update. Mrs. W has since embarked on a Twitter friendship with Mrs. Davis, with Mrs. Davis often opening conversations.
I like the fact that he's managed to throw that in. It's not like
Mrs. W is
just stalking Mrs. Davis. But yeah, fair play.
It is Mrs. W's aim in life to have a swim in the Davis swimming pool, which I hope means an actual swimming pool. But he never disappoints us, and hopefully we'll have Nick back on the show
soon.
He's
a good man, isn't he? I've got another thing for discussion. It looks like goal line technology is given being given proper.
It's but it's not. It's not going to be Hawkeye.
No, it's Goal Watch. Is it called or something?
Something like that, or something to do with 4D technology, which presumably takes into account time, space, and an extra dimension.
And it's either Sepp Blatter or Michel Platini, one of those overpaid idiots who think they know a lot about football but don't. But they've actually gone and said that actually for the money that it's cost to develop this technology, they should have invested into youth
football.
Development.
There was Platini who said that.
Platini said it.
But have you heard the excellent news that Mirror's reported that on the plus side, Platini is going to be blocked from being the next head of FIFA.
Really?
But on the negative side, it's because Sepp Blatter is going to run for another spell as head of FIFA. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's exciting, isn't it?
Talk about depressing.
Why don't we get Lee Nelson in? He knows a bit about football, doesn't he, after the other week?
Has anything happened from that?
I've not heard anything. I think he's still waiting to go to court.
I'd rather give Joey Barton the job.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Now we're just being silly.
Kick homophobia out of football, eh, Joey? Any more for any more?
No, I was just going to give
Melbourne Heart, on.
Yeah, didn't really want to talk about it, to be honest. But the season's over. The regular season's over. It's due to the playoffs have started. It's obviously Melbourne Heart are not in it. I suppose the good news, if there is good news, take your frickin' hummus pot with you.
Connor's just left and he's left us with his hummus pot.
The bad, if there is any sort of silver lining, it's they didn't finish bottom.
That's a silver lining.
I suppose it is, but it was only on goal difference.
They will take it.
To Wellington Phoenix. The ridiculous thing is, they were 5 points off. They finished 5 points off sixth place, which would have got them in the playoffs. And they lost. They lost the last five games on the trot of the season.
Well, let's go back to the game when, you know, they were playing against 10 men and they ended up losing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's opportunities.
It's the away form as well that seems to be.
The home form did them for the last couple of games.
The last
two
as well.
It was such a good start to the season and then they just tailed off.
But you know what? If you're not good enough, you don't deserve to go up.
There obviously just needs to be a lot of work done to start,
There's always next season. John Aloisi will sort it out. I've got the faith.
Yeah, so... Well,
and in other Australian news, Emil Heskey signed a new contract with Newcastle Jets.
Has he?
Yeah. He's been a roaring hit, it seems.
Well, he's an absolute legend, isn't he?
I really hope they do another Heskey cam. Did you see that?
No, I didn't know.
They followed Emil Heskey round. You know they used to do player cam? They did it for one game. They did Heskey cam.
He spent half an hour in Krispy Kreme.
But he did score. It was very entertaining.
Fair enough to him. And that wraps us up about for this week. You know the usual. Scott, email us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpubcast, complaints@SimonHead. Visit www.footballpubcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast. Don't forget, if you review us on iTunes, we will read it out. And if you interact with us via Twitter, we'll always make an effort to give you a shout. Enjoy the show, enjoy the week, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.